All right. Hello. Let's come back together. Yes. Today is going to be fun. Yes. It is going to be very different than... No, this is going to be so different. Yes, every day is fun. Agreed. When you live with me, every day is fun. You should hear the stories. They scare me. Yeah, let's pray because you're going to need some ears to hear. So, Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for just the sense that I have for what you want to do, what you want to share, how you want to speak today. We position ourselves, Lord, with open ears and open eyes. I pray, God, that you would just reveal your heart to us in a greater way today. I pray we would leave this place encouraged, infused, built, strengthened, and looking forward to 2020. Thank you. We give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. I had somebody today ask me, I might say this the wrong way. They said, Are you ready for the new year or something to that nature? And I have to tell you, this, more than any other year than I can ever remember, I'm excited about moving into 2020, which is really bizarre for me. It may not be for you, but for me, I'm like, God, another year, oh my gosh. I'm like, yes, bye-bye. You know, I'm like, come on, 2020. I'm excited about moving into this year. What I meant about this service being very different, I'm going to share briefly a few things, and then I have asked a few people to be prepared, just to be waiting on the Lord, and if the Lord shares, maybe it's a prophetic word, maybe it's a over the house, over individuals, that type of thing, and so we're going to kind of release some words over you for this year. And yeah, so buckle up, hold on. Before I share anything from the word of what I want to share, I actually have a word for you. And yes, ma'am. Is that okay? Okay. So I turned around and I looked at you a little while ago, and I saw you wearing a doctoral gown, cap and gown. And I was like, okay, that's kind of strange. And then I looked at your arms in the spirit, obviously, but your arms were way longer than they should have been. Like, not weirdly, just they were long. And so I started to pray. And I looked up on my iPad, like, what is a doctoral gown? What is a doctoral hat? What does all that mean? Because I heard doctoral gown, doctoral cap. And on a doctoral cap, the tassels are gold. And so first the Lord started talking to me about provision and increase and that. And that's right and that's good. But the arms, I was, Lord, what does that mean? And I believe the Lord is extending your reach. He's extending your arms to be able to encompass those who are going to be coming to you to learn. He's bringing you to a new level of knowing him, knowing his word, knowing who you are in him. It's a new season, a new time, and a new level for your life. Get ready, hold on, things are really going to shift. So, will you receive that? Amen. Yeah, amen. I want to share with you really quickly a couple of things that I think we've maybe missed out on, misunderstood, not really fully embraced. This is me included. I haven't really ever known fully how to receive a prophetic word and begin to activate that word in my life, in the body, in general. I have found myself at times being disappointed, discouraged, looking at like why, you know. Here's what my belief was. If God said it, it must be going to happen, and I just need to kind of hang on and let it go, and it's going to take place. But that's not always the case. It's not always how it happens. And just because God says this is what I'm going to do, it is actually an opportunity for you and I to engage in God's plan for what he just released on the earth. I'll give you a perfect example. Daniel chapter 10, Daniel is praying and waiting. And actually, can we just read it really quickly? Daniel chapter 10, verse 1 says this. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long. This is our first, difficulty that we have. Is the message is true, but the appointed time was long. So, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. So God gave him a vision and a message. The message was true, but the timing was long. Verse 2, in those days, I, Daniel, so now Daniel's talking, was mourning 3 full weeks. So 21 days, I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks was fulfilled. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, he begins to unfold, the Spirit of the Lord comes to him, he talks about how he looks. Verse 10, suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees, and on the palms of my hands, verse 11, and he said to me, O Daniel, man of greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While I was speaking the word, this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel. Listen to this, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble, there was a position of humbling himself, you humbled yourself before your God, your words were heard. Listen, I heard you the first day, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to me, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with kings of Persia. Now, I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter day. He begins to unfold the vision. But here's what I wanted you to get. What happens if day 18, Daniel goes, enough. I've been not eating, I've been warring, I've been fasting, I've been waiting, I've been listening, I saw a vision, I heard the word of the Lord, it must have been wrong. Right? What happens? What happens? Day 20, Daniel goes, enough. Right? This is me, guys, but usually it's not day 20. This is like day 3.5. Enough! I've waited so long, God. That's what it feels like anyway. Maybe that's not totally true, but that's what it feels like often. Because here was what I was taught. God said it, I heard it, therefore it has to happen. Not necessarily. Listen to this. If prayer doesn't change anything, why pray? If faith pleases God, right? If it doesn't, if faith doesn't matter, prayer doesn't matter, warfare doesn't matter, none of it really fully engages or matters, why have it? Watch, I want to teach you something really quickly. I wrote myself some notes to really kind of streamline this. Amos chapter 3 verse 7 says this, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. Along with timing, It is key to understand the role we play as workers in the kingdom of God to see prophecy come to pass. Without understanding that prophecy requires action on our part, we might become upset when a prophetic word seems unfulfilled. Disappointment can stir up questions like, did I really hear God? Or, did I miss what God was trying to say? Or, did the person speaking to me, maybe they missed it. Maybe they didn't hear from God. Maybe I'm in sin. All these things begin to stir because we don't recognize our part that we're supposed to be playing in this thing called prophecy. We even may become jaded and confused, wondering if prophecy is real today. Listen, I have personally struggled with these type of things. Like, you know, maybe this is all wrong. Now these aren't recent struggles, but these are things that I have personally struggled with because of disappointment, discouragement, not seeing. Listen, I used to be terrified to be around somebody who might be like have a prophetic bone in their body because they might see through me. Right? Therefore, I reject and move away and go, I don't think I want anything to do with this until somebody comes and says, you're called to nations, you're going to change things, stadiums are going to be... Bring it. Tell me the words. Bring me more, right? Maybe not. That's not very humble, but that was me. None of y'all. Y'all were Jesus' second cousins. I forgot. Anyway, wondering if prophecy was for today. Prophecy, listen to this, is a roadmap that gives us strategic information, but it is not the same concept as fated. I know that's kind of a weird word, but think that it's the only terminology I knew how to come up with. Some people believe in what's called fate. In other words, kind of like what I was saying a minute ago. God said it, therefore it must happen because he said it over me, and all I got to do is sit back and wait, and if it's a true word, it will come to pass. Now, I want to be really careful here because I also recognize that there are times and there are words that you do put aside. And you never just leave them. You should always pray into them. But also, here's something that we really need to get. My phone. Who's calling me? Hi, John Moore. Anyway, I was talking to the camera. Yowza. Okay, so here's something. I gotta move. I've lost my place. I'll remember it in a minute. Was it? What was I saying? Okay, perfect. Glad you're here. There are times that when... Here's what I was going to say. I remember now. A prophetic word should always stir something inside you. These are my words. I believe this, that God speaks to me about me before he's going to speak to you about me. I may not hear it. I may not fully understand it. I may not be like receiving it yet, but the minute you speak it, it brings something to life in me because he already put it in my heart. So when a prophetic word comes, it should spring something forth inside you that goes, ooh. It might make you go, oh gosh, I'm not sure about that. But you still feel something that goes, bah. That's what my spirit does sometimes, bah, inside me. It says, ooh, I like that. But my flesh goes, I don't like that, right? That's me. You may not respond, you probably don't, but I do. So, prophecy is a roadmap that gives us strategic information, but it is not the same as fate. For those who believe in fate, they feel the future cannot be changed or altered. Life is what it is, and nothing can be done about it. As believers, we know God has given us free will. We're responsible for making choices. The scripture gives us the guidelines. we need to follow in order to be blessed, while God does foreknow the end from the beginning, we still have to choose. Without the ability to partner with God to shift things, what would be the purpose of prayer? Contending for the promise. Often we are given a prophetic word so we can contend to see the prophecy fulfilled. It is important to remember the enemy does not want you to reap the benefits of the promises of God, so spiritual warfare may be needed. In other words, we need to learn to hear the word of the Lord, grab a hold of it, begin to proclaim it over our lives until it is fulfilled. We need to begin to learn to declare, speak it over our families, speak it over our communities, speak it over our bodies, speak it over our state, speak it over our nation, speak it over our country, all of it. Until it comes to pass, we don't stop proclaiming. Here's what we've done in America. 2020 is coming. We push 2019 out of the way and we go, give me a fresh new word. Because 2019 is over doesn't mean that everything was fulfilled, because the timing of God, listen, we again, as Americans, we live, and a lot of the world does, on the Gregorian calendar. And so for us, New Year is January 1. For the Hebrew, New Year is in September. Sometimes October, I suppose. But do you understand? So how does God see the new year? How does God see? God doesn't see time the way you and I see time. So when God says, today, I tell you this, it doesn't mean today. Right. It might. Do you understand? Like I know this is kind of, it short circuits my thinking sometimes, but I think we've set ourselves up for failure because we get discouraged when we hear things like now, today, this year. And maybe, I have to say this too, because I've been guilty of this. There are things that God speaks, and I add myself in there to it and go, I think God might be saying this, and I throw things in that God didn't necessarily tell me to say. Do you understand? So people are fallible. In other words, I may share something that I'm thinking the timing is this way, and that's not necessarily exactly what God was trying to say. Maybe one of my last thoughts, because I want to move. If you are afraid that a prophetic person may reveal your deepest, darkest, or may humiliate you, or may call you out, I want to first say this. No reputable, good prophet would ever do something publicly to humiliate, to crush, or kill the heart of a believer. When God speaks things to somebody, if he spoke something to me about Phil that I felt was potentially embarrassing, humiliating, whatever, he didn't share that with me so that I could publicly declare it. He shared it with me so I could learn how to release the opposite into his life. Do you see? So I've learned that, first of all, I can't hide anything from God anyway. So what's the point of being afraid? Secondly, I've learned to trust that the people that I'm sitting near and under are not here to try and figure out all the bad things that are... Listen, God's in a good mood. He's happy. He likes me. He wants to do good things in my life. He wants to do good things in your life. He wants to call out the treasure and the fruit and the spirit that's inside of us. And there are things that tend to get in the way, and he doesn't want to focus on those. He wants to focus on this. But learning to recognize that when the word is released, I have a part to play in that is hugely lacking. So, with that said, I want to do... Would you just trust me for a few minutes here? I have... If you don't want to, you seriously, you can get up and leave if you don't want to trust what I'm about to do. And I'm not saying that rudely. I just mean I don't expect everybody to be like, whatever. I have asked a few people that I trust to carry the same heart in this, to be waiting on the Lord. And I want some of y'all to come down here and all y'all, whoever, what, not whoever. Sheesh. Yes, come here, wifey. Where's Annie? She's probably calling her dad. No, it's okay. So, now you guys are all going to prophesy over us. No, I'm just kidding. So, I'm actually going to have Kevin Kidder go first, because I feel like he has a word to share.
Okay. The Lord has been speaking this to me off and on for a little while now, and he's been showing it to me in images. For instance, whenever you, let's say you're looking out at the mountains out here, covered in snow, it's getting dark, and it's cold, and you're sitting in your house, nice and warm. And when I look out at that, I think, man, I'm glad I'm not out there right now, okay? Because that's dangerous out there. Being up in those mountains right now when it's all cold and ugly. It took me a while to figure this out, and the help of a sister in Christ that helped me realize what it was saying. And it's speaking to me as much as it's speaking over everyone. And that is, there's a fine line between being in the Lord, being wrapped in Him, wrapped in it, nice and warm and cuddly, and everything is taken care of and you're safe, as opposed to being out there where it's cold and dark and ugly, and your survival is on the line. And what was revealed to me is that it's not so much that you're saved already, because I want to believe that everyone in here is saved. And Lord is telling me that it's not enough. It's not enough to stand there on the line and look in where it's nice and warm and ugly behind you, but you have to step into it. If you're not inside the house, you're outside of it, okay? So you need to, in order to do that, you need to become more than just saved. You need to apply yourself. You need to work at it. You need to be dedicated. And not just dedicated, yeah, I believe God is, you know, He's all omniscious? Yeah. And I'm saved and everything, but you got to do more, okay? And it's not because you have to for, you know, in and of yourself, because you don't have to walk in. You don't have to step into this. You can stay on the outside. You can stay right on the line, and you can come sliding in through the pearly gates by the skin of your teeth. Or you can be dedicated to it and be ushered in and come in with everybody else and be a celebration of this of the life. And that speaks to me, you know, profoundly, because I believe, but I am not, at this point in my life, I'm not totally dedicated. My life is not absolutely totally dedicated. And I believe God is telling me that it's not just me, that there are other people who are in that same boat. And He's telling me, and I'm relaying to you, that it's necessary for you to step into it. It's the difference between being safe and being dead and suffering.
I'm going to add to this just a little bit. because I want you to hear what I'm hearing. Me too. That's about what I hear sometimes. I hear an invitation. Yeah? I hear this. The invitation that God is calling me or inviting me into is an invitation of dedication. It's an invitation to feast. It's an invitation to allow Him to do something in me that I can't actually do myself, but it requires surrender. So, can I share? Okay. So, some of y'all know that it's also right now not only the Christmas season, but it's also Hanukkah, right? Today is the seventh day of Hanukkah. Tomorrow's the last day. But Hanukkah is known as the Feast of Lights or the Feast of Dedication. I don't want to tell you the entire story. You should look it up about the Maccabees, the oil. They only had oil for one day. It lasted 8 days in the temple. In that, there was a supernatural release of the provision of God when there shouldn't have been the ability to do what was being done. So, what I hear is the Lord inviting us into a place of dedication for Him to do in us what we are not able to do ourselves. In other words, taking that first step of salvation is good, but it's not the end and it's not the, you know, finished product. We're invited deeper. Amen?
So seven is the number of perfection. Today is the seventh day of the Feast of Dedication. So, as Zach said, an invitation to dedicate ourselves again fully to God. Eight is the number for new beginnings, which is the last day of Hanukkah, which means new beginnings, right?
Absolutely.
So, dedication means to be solely devoted to. And God is calling us to be so devoted to Him, to have such a single vision. He doesn't require of us to make it happen. He requires of us to say, yes. Yes. Yes, Lord, I want to be fully dedicated to You. I want to have my life, this temple. When the Maccabees came in, the temple, pigs had been slaughtered on the altars of God. The temple was in ruin. They came in, the priesthood came in, and they cleaned it out. They removed everything that that had been brought in and defiled the temple. And after that, then they set the lamps burning, the Hanukkah, which, like Zach said, had one day. That light was to never go out. Okay, this is critical that we understand that. That light was to never go out. And knowing they only had enough oil for one day, they were constrained. They just had to light that lamp in the rededication of the temple. God wants to light us because we're to never stop burning. We're to never go out. That light, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Right. So today is an invitation. Yeah. And God is speaking prophetically to us as a congregation, as a community. Today is the day.
I'm going to jump off what you said. So the Lord's been speaking to me a lot about in this next year, about really coming into a greater intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, which I think also goes into what Kevin was talking about, the invitation of closeness to Him. I know we haven't fully understood who He is yet, And this morning in prayer, I saw what you were talking about, a flame burning inside of each one of us. And I saw the gas turned up and just an igniting. And everything you read about in the Word, when things happened, it's because the Holy Spirit showed up. And so we have that invitation in this next year and beyond to really be intentional about discovering Him, who He is in us, who He is, what the Word says about Him, start talking to Him, start engaging Him. It's like you said, you know, we don't have to make things happen, but we do play a part in the yeses. God, I know I can't totally reveal who the Holy Spirit is to me, but I can take that first step and go, I want to spend time with you. I want to learn about you. I want to know who you are.
The other thing I saw was like the embers of a fire that had been burning a long time, super hot. And the embers were alive. The fire was moving through them. I could see it. And the Lord said, it's only taking one log to throw on that fire, and it's going to explode. And you know what? I think there's a lot of dry wood in here.
Yeah.
To set a really big fire.
I think you need to release the other.
Oh, okay. I'm going to get my notes out because as Zach had asked us to be waiting, the Lord gave me some words for some of you. Can I walk over there?
Yeah.
Okay. Matt. I love you guys. I should say I'm in love with you guys like Jesus is. Your name means gift of Yahweh. And Jennifer, your name means fair and blessed. And I agree with both of those. Matt, God tells me that He's going to teach you how to play.
Thank goodness for the worship.
Not the worship.
Not that kind of play.
Not that kind of play. He said, and then He's going to have you teach others how to play. Excuse me. He said, in a world where everything moves so fast and life becomes so serious that we don't know how to play like a child. And listen, the kingdom comes forth for the children, right? That is the truth. And so you are getting enrolled in Holy Ghost School, Being a Child 101, and learning to be a child in everyday life. Because your greatest strength and gift, Matt, is joy. The joy of a child. And that's your greatest warfare. Because the enemy doesn't come in and try to take our weakness and work through our weaknesses. He comes in to steal our strength. Right? If there's a castle, that's what the enemy is going to be after. And Matt, you are a man of joy, a mighty man of God. I see you in the Spirit. And Jennifer, you are blessed, as your name says. But God is calling you to be the blessing, because wherever you go, you change atmospheres. You are a woman of peace. I see shalom on you, the shalom of God in you that stirs in you and flows out of you. And you carry this peace and it continually flows through you. And the compassion that is in you sometimes is a bit overwhelming. And it's the same compassion that Jesus walked in. And God tells me that you have the gift of healing. Many levels of healing, and that he wants to release that in a greater measure. I see powerful healings coming through you. So he's saying be sensitive as compassion rises in your heart and let the Holy Spirit manifest those healings through you. And you are a vessel of healing, like a cistern. You know what a cistern is? Yeah. And Matt, again, you are a man of joy and strength. I'm going to hold you to that now because Daddy tattled on you to me.
Is a cistern like a brethren?
Yeah. And the Lord also gave me Isaiah 61:3 for you. Beauty for ashes. And the whole verse, though. Okay, actually, you could start in one and go through three.
Wait.
Read the whole thing.
I need to say this. Just really quickly, because I want you to understand, and I'm not trying to, like, embarrass you or anything like that, because I know you don't like this. That word, though, beauty for ashes, the word ashes is worthless things or worthlessness. Mm-hmm. He wants to replace, and this is for all of us, his desire is to replace all of our things, our worthless things, with beauty. So receive that. Jesus' name.
The amazing thing about the prophetic word, too, is since we're a body, if you hear a prophetic word and your spirit is going, grab it. Grab it.
Okay, we're going to move. I'm walking with you because we're going to move here.
Okay. So this is...
Dan.
For the entire Kirka family. You want to go first?
No.
Okay. So what I saw over your whole family was this giant sign that said hospitality. It was huge, which tells me that this is a huge gifting throughout your whole... You know the apple doesn't fall far from the tree? Each is born after their own kind,
yeah,
according to the word of the Lord, right? So, Dan, this is for you specifically. A tree bends with the wind. As the wind of the Spirit blows towards you and by you, and bend with the wind. You know what that means better than I do, but that's what he's saying. I also see the words over your whole family. Leadership and teacher. These words are over all of you. And then the Lord proceeded to tell me, you are planted here for purpose. Let your roots go in here, in this community. Let your... You know, sometimes I think we know we're supposed to be here, but we don't always... embrace, because we're kind of, sometimes we're looking back there or sometimes we're looking up there, but right now let your roots go in, because there's a gift here, a deposit that you can only get if you let those roots go down really deep and draw. There's some deep wells in this house, and if you just let those roots really stretch and draw out what is here, you'll be amazed. And then finally, the Lord had me look up your last name, Kirka. It comes from the root word kirk, which means church. You are the church. You are the church. Your name pronounces that everywhere you go. In the spirit, church, church, church. So you are atmosphere changers. Hospitality doesn't just mean in your home. It means everywhere you go. And I love that you value the word and that you're writing it. I love that. Thank you.
So when you said church, this is what I heard. And I taught this a while ago, but foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head, looking for the church to put his head upon. And so I saw, as soon as you said church, I saw the head be placed on top of the church. And so I don't know exactly what that means. It's just what I saw. So eat away.
Well, I guess I'll change up the order. The Lord gave me a word for two people, and one of them happens to be Nathaniel. So I'm gonna let that go first. You know, and I'd like to reiterate that you know, these words are for everybody. And like Zach said earlier, if the Lord's been already speaking to you on something, and you hear it spoken out over someone else, and it comes up in your own heart, grab onto it, please. And let's see here. How do I start? I want to make sure I don't use a word that you don't like the sound of, but I'm going to use that word. It's like the Lord showed me that you're a sponge. So please don't define that word yet, okay? But it's like he was showing me, it's like a picture of the Holy Spirit grabbing you like a sponge that he's put in his Holy Spirit bucket and filled with Holy Spirit stuff. And it's like he's everywhere you go, everything you touch, every person you interact with, it's like he's cleaning them up with that Holy Spirit sponge that he calls Nathaniel. And it's like he shows me after he's done doing that and he's walking away with his sponge in his hand and the wake, so to speak, in your path is cleaner and better and brighter. And there's just a special place for you in that the world likes to think it would like to take that away from you. And so I pray and declare that the world has no power over you and that your Holy Spirit sponginess will remain strong even as you get to be a guy with hair my color your whole life. And so I just really feel a lot of power on that and a lot of power in who you are and what you're about and what he's doing with you in the kingdom. And that it might be easy to take that for granted because you're used to seeing it every day. But there's a lot of people that you come in contact with that aren't used to seeing that every day. And they're going to get more used to it, though, as you wash them up. Amen.
As I walked over here, I heard jet engines over you, so I don't know where you're going, somewhere. But I just, every time I see you guys, and even this morning, I see over your family another word, and I keep seeing mothers and fathers, mothers and fathers, mothers and fathers, and nations. And I see you open up your wings like a chicken would for their chicks and gather and gather and gather and gather and gather. And so I just want to speak over you. You're in this house, like they said, roots going down deep because it's apostolic, and mothering and fathering is apostolic. So.
And so then I had one other person in mind, and I'll go to you rather than you come to me. That would be a Luke, if he's still in the room. He was sitting there a moment ago. Is he here? Oh, okay. Well, maybe he can hear me if I talk loudly. I'll wait.
I have something really quick. Yeah. Dakota, did you get a new guitar? Were you playing a new guitar up here? Well, whether you were or not, I saw you playing a new guitar today, and it's not unusual for you people to get new guitars. So that's not a racist thing. I just... No. I looked at you, though, playing your guitar, and I was like, that's a new guitar, whether it was or not, irrelevant. But I heard the Lord say this. Dakota's going to release a new sound out of a new instrument that I'm giving him. Now, I'm not saying like you're going to develop new, I'm just saying new sound, new sound, new sound.
All right. Luke Levitt. The Lord's got you in the crosshairs. I'll come up here to you. The Lord was showing me a couple things about you, and it starts with a picture. I remember back when I was a teenager watching various goofy half-hour sitcoms, and one of them featured this guy that, and they build him as such, that he's strong enough to rip a phone book in half, but he can also play a violin. And I just really feel like the Lord is getting ready to show you how to play a violin. I sense that he wants you to ask him how to play that violin, that he wants you to enter in and ask him that. But I also sense, at the same time, another little analogy, I guess. You know, I used to have a border collie, right? And she's a herder. And a lot of times, critters don't like to be herded. They want her to stand there. Well, she, to get them to go somewhere, she has to get them moving any direction, and then she can turn them once they're moving and get them where she's hoping they'd go, right? It's almost like the Lord's showing me that he wants you to take a step. Even though it might seem confusing, well, Lord, what do I do? Which direction do I step? It's like he wants to see some movement so he can begin to guide it to whatever that violin is that he wants you to play. And I feel strongly that it's 2020 is the year. Is the year that he's going to teach you to start learning how to play, fill in the blank, whatever the violin is going to be in your life. Amen.
Hey, really quickly, every instrument that we have actually moves a part of your physical body, and the violin moves the heart. I don't know if you knew that, but that every instrument that we have in existence, and I'm not saying it's the only one, I just know that the violin is connected to that. It does something physical in your heart when it's played. Really pretty wild.
Okay. So, Andy.
Sage and I are going to tag team a word on you here.
I told Zach, I don't want to tell Andy this word because it was just kind of funny. So I saw the Lord come in with a rag and start shining your head. And I know. That was the part of the word I was like, ah. And I felt like he was saying, I'm getting ready to settle. I'm making a landing strip on Andy of my spirit. And the one thing, again, was the opportunity to go places with him is there. It all depends on your yes.
Here's what I heard when she shared that with me, because she was like, I don't know if I want to say that. So say it. The Lord is preparing you as the headship of your home, and the landing thing is about the humility that he's bringing to you as a leader, as a father, as the head of your home, that leading in humility is leading in strength. And so let him prepare you, position your heart, position yourself for what he's going to do in you as the head.
And really key into what he said about the humility and strength. Start asking the Holy Spirit about that.
Okay, I got Lord speaking to me about an individual here. Ma'am, in the back, Christine, I believe your name is? Yes. I'm sitting here and I'm listening to all these words and I'm watching, trying to hear the Lord speak to me about anybody. And I look at you, and I don't know if you other people know the difference between the rough around the hood of a parka and a sunshine rough. A rough around the hood of a parka closes in and keeps your face inside, you know. But a sunshine rough is opened out wide, and it stands up tall, and it uses the long black-tipped fur off the back of a wolf, and usually something like Wolverine inside of that that gives it that yellow, sunshiny look. And Christine, I see, looking at you, I see there's, to me, God's saying that your life is fixing to open up, and you are going to shine through, and people are going to see that and be attracted to that beauty, because you put a sunshine ruff around a girl's face and suddenly she's brightened and more beautiful. And I see people looking at you and seeing that and are going to be coming to you, because you have that open, bright, accepting and look about you. And that look, of course, is from Christ. And that greatly goes with your name, Christine, which is a version of Christ. Yeah. And the sunshine S-O-N.
I need to tag onto this, because the ruff made from Wolverine and wolf, they're both predators. They're both scary. They're both, you know, nothing you want to run into. But I heard the Lord say this, that every trial, every difficulty, every fear, every thing the enemy has designed to take you out, he's going to use to bring glory to him. That is what the ruff is made of. It's every trial, everything, every difficulty, every fear, every worry. And he's mixing it with your dreams, your hopes, your desires. That's why it's coming out instead of going in. And so allow those things to be pushed out to bring him glory, him honor. And yeah, so amen.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah, right?
Well, I was going to jump in there, but I heard this Lord say, raise your head up. You need to process that word here, not here. The joy of the Lord comes from here. It doesn't come from your mind. And I know you want to figure it all out, but the Lord says, just believe. Just believe. I mean, she was speaking, and I just felt the Father's heart run, come up in me, and was like, just wants you to believe as a son. Just believe, you know, what Daddy says is true. So just believe.
The interesting thing about prophetic words, of which I have very little experience with personally, but I'm gaining experience apparently. Think about the most difficult thing that somebody can tell you that is going to happen, and then think of all the things that mix into that. And I'm maybe sharing just a smidgen of what's going through my head, and Jody, you're dead on. It's a heart thing, not a head thing. The significance of this word, and I was going to tell Kim this, but I feel like the rest of you need to maybe be brought into the loop in it, because as you receive your words and as you are able to give others words, there's a whole lot that goes into them, not just a, hey, Matt, you're going to have some joy. That might have been what you heard on the outside, but if you've had a chance to get to know me, I'm sorry. If you've had a chance to get to know me, you'll know that as a child, even, I was told, don't have joy, be stoic, don't show too much emotion, or you'll scare people off, or you'll make them doubt your sincerity, or you're just acting like an idiot, is ultimately what I was told by multiple people. Parents make mistakes, teachers make mistakes, relatives make mistakes. So I allow that grace, but that's something that this is one of the most difficult words I've ever heard for anybody because of that. I don't know how to process that, quite honestly. And as you receive yours, maybe Jody's right. And the easiest thing is to not try to process it. Just take it in. But there's a responsibility. I almost feel like that there is, but I just don't know what that responsibility is in it. Anyway, you may receive difficult words, but that there's a difficulty in that one that...
Good.
I have a word for Tina. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's for you. I think Zach does too. Hi, darling. You know that heaven watches you. Jesus watches you and he says, angels, come over here. Miss America's dancing. You're a teacher. God's using you to teach people how to worship him and how to love him with all their hearts. You are like a royal diadem in the crown of Jesus.
Tina M. Tung. My thing. Amen.
Amen. And over the rest of you, your mama and you, I saw an umbilical cord going from you to your sister.
Yeah, pretty tightly, huh?
But you know what? What I saw was the life going both ways. Life from her to you and you back. And you are an amazing woman. You've done an amazing job with these girls. Good job. In the name of the Lord.
Denise, I have a really strange... So I saw you in like... I don't even know how to describe it, but like a warrior's outfit, sword out, hacking stuff up until people came around, and then all of a sudden it was like, shing. Hi, guys. And then people walk by, you're like, shing. Somebody else walk, shing. Hey. You have this, like, beastly warrior thing inside you that... Your kids know. The Lord is going to be calling you out more in that arena than you have been, like, ever. And it's going to be seen where it's not been seen in the past. Not for your glory by any means, but for his glory. He's going, it's like you're his secret weapon, and he's released the secret. Yeah, you get it. Anyway, amen.
Okay, I have prophetic words for Corey and Sean, actually. You'll have to tell me who's who before I give it, because you can't take your brother's thing. Actually, I saw both of you, and you were on a beach. And you were both hanging on for, like, dear life onto coconut trees. And the wind was blowing, the storm was going, and you were hanging on. Which one of you guys is Sean? Okay. Okay, I saw, this is going to sound a little silly, but it's really good, okay? I saw a coconut fall from the tree and hit your head. God told me he was going to give you inspired ideas and things that will change the world. As God's kingdom comes in your life, more and more of the world changer is going to come out. Corey, I don't know you guys, but I got thrill seeker for you. Like, do you like things that are fast? Okay.
I saw you driving a train. You were a conductor and you were driving at a high rate of speed. The train cars can hold people, lots and lots of people, supplies, tools, and much more. You will go places, and the bigger you dream and jump in with God, the more cars will be added to your train. Okay. I was praying last night, and I saw you and John. And I saw you standing probably a good 20 feet in. I don't know how wide the Red Sea was when God opened it up. Does anybody know how long that was? It's like a miles. Okay. And God said he's opened up the Red Sea for you. That means he's holding back your enemies. He's holding back those that could attack you. And he's like, just follow me through.
So I saw this word over you this morning, and it was giants, and it said, rest! And then I saw it under your feet, and it said, rest! And it was like a moving tram, like that is how you move, is in rest.
I actually saw reset. Reset. And in the rest, there is reset. There is restoration. I heard reset, reset, reset. He's pushing a reset button on something for both of you, for your house, for your home, for your marriage, for your children. Reset, reset. But the reset is in the rest.
For the Kirkus. As a big family, a loving family, and the word of hospitality that was spoken over you, and these things, and you being a church. Whenever a church is founded on a solid foundation in the Word. And the church is doing what it's supposed to do. People see that and they come into it. Okay, that's how people come. And with that same line of thinking, I see something or someone new. There's going to be newness coming into your family. So be prepared. Prepare a room. Okay, there's someone new is coming to you, and you're going to take them in, and you're going to love them. You're going to make them one of your own.
I have to do this really quickly. So 2020, double-double. I have some $2 bills. I wish I had them for all of you, but I don't. I have one for you. Mm-hmm. I have one for Caleb and Ashley. Oh. It's not because I like these guys more than anybody else. Bonnie and Susie. And Josh. So I wanted to hand those to you because I really feel strongly, and I think everybody needs to grab a hold of this, but there is a double release happening this year that is becoming available. Monty, I saw... a minute ago, so I kind of got lost when you were talking about the Red Sea, because I was actually seeing you build something that I was like, it didn't have a single nail. And I know that's possible. People do stuff like that. But I saw you like honing this thing. There was, like I said, no nails. It was all pegs and holes and what, I don't know how, what that's called. But I saw you building this thing, and even you stepped back and went, how? How did that work? How did I do that? How did that? I heard the Lord say he's going to release over you this new level of creativity, this new level of that there's something that's been in your heart for a long time in the area of like invention or creation that he wants to release into you this year, that I see it becoming like just blowing up. Begin to just war in that, pray in that, seek him for what that might look like, what that might be. I have no idea what it is. And I'm not saying it's something in building. I just know it's something that you make with your hands, whatever that is. And there's no nails. I don't know. Whatever.
Who'd have thunk?
So one thing about those $2 bills, it's okay, that I think is something that the Lord's been doing recently with me personally. Sometimes when I give prophetic words or when I've even gotten prophetic words, the Lord has tangibly put something in my hand that's a sign. So every time that I see that, it's a reminder to me what his promise was to me. And so when Zach was like, be praying, somebody handed him the money and said, I want you to give this out. And so declare that double over your life, that the enemy isn't going to take anything. This is going to be a year of increase, a double increase.
Yeah, so good.
It's the year for 2020 vision.
Sure.
2020. God's going to give us 2020 vision as we say yes and position ourselves. And he will. He's going to increase us. But 2020 is like moving from needing glasses to perfect sight.
Perfect vision, yeah.
So the things that you haven't been able to see clearly, like you've known it and you're nowhere, but you haven't been able to see it and understand it, you will have 2020. You will see it and you'll know it. So, Levi, I have a word for you. I saw, you know what a bull chain is? Like, really big, maybe like on a boat, those big chains. Zach would know better. I'm not sure what I'm talking about, but I saw it, and it was you, somehow you and in you. And the chain was broken. And then I saw the Lord come and put it together, and it was complete. And the word chain is in the word change. And through this linking, it's going to change your life. God's going to do something so miraculous, so unfathomable in you that it's going to speak to his glory when he links this chain together. And you are the chain, and the chain is in you.
Missy, I saw you go in your backyard, and you knew exactly where you were going and what you were getting, but I saw you dig up some sort of a chest, a treasure. I never saw what was actually in it, but you knew exactly where it was, and it was in your backyard. I'm not going to try to tell you what that is or what it means. I just know that there's something the Lord is uncovering, a treasure that has been, whether it's dormant or whatever, that he is bringing out. And it has to do with your house. So just pray. I don't know what that is.
So the Lord's showing me something for a certain particular group of people in the room. And I'd like you to stand up for me. So that'd be Rob, and Matt and Matt. Yeah. And Austin and Phil and Dave. Luke and Luke. You guys see a theme? It's like the Lord showing me a gate to a very beautiful place, grand building, but it's a gate and it's got pillars, and over the gate it's named the Father Gate, and it's like he's showing me, you guys are the pillars that are holding up that gate, that he's called you to be there to hold that gate up, but he's not calling you to just be stone pillars that don't interact with the things that go through the gate. I see him calling you to be very active, that just holding the gate up isn't enough. That's not what he's calling you to be, although that's important that you do that. He's calling you to be relational with all the activities and the goings on around that the gate, and how important the life in your gate is that you're stewarding. I just really feel strongly that he wants you guys to catch that and to grab hold of it, and I know you have, and just say I will, and I do. Amen.
Bear with us just a minute here, and I promise I won't keep you much longer.
So Ashley and Caleb, I don't know you very well, but the Holy Spirit does. So I saw this house, and I think it was your house, and I saw this. I don't know anything about electrical or the box that has all the stuff in it. I don't know, that makes your house have lights and power. Thank you. And it was all like not wired right. It was all over the place. And I saw you look at your wife, and the Lord said something to you. It was like divine revelation, and you looked at her, and you said, I got it. And you started unplugging and switching where everything was, and all of a sudden you had full power. Like it was like, bam. So whatever that is that the Holy Spirit has for you guys that hasn't been, like the connectivity and all of that, like it's all of a sudden it's time. He's going to give you that.
Julia actually has something.
Yeah, so I'm really glad that they decided to talk to you, because I was in the process of finishing writing a word for you, and I was just going to give it to you after the service. So I'll just go ahead and read it, and it's specifically for you. You, and what's your name?
Ashley.
Ashley, you may have felt like the Lord has overlooked you or passed you by. I hear him saying to you, I see you. I see you. You may feel as though no one else notices you, but I, the Lord, I notice you. You are seen, and your prayers are heard, and you are not alone. I am with you, and I treasure you. It was either I treasure you or you are my treasure.
I also see these feathers flying around you. I don't know if you have any Native American blood, but I see these, they have like a pin, like a ink pin on the end of them. Like, I don't know if you're called to write or what it is, but I just keep seeing them swirling around you. Like he's got special things, whatever that is inside. Oh, can I do one? Okay. Christine, is that right? So when they were talking about the sunshine roof, I saw your hands go up like this and back and forth. And from your fingers, light was shooting out, and I saw healing coming out of your hands just like that. Like all these things that you've walked through, like they were talking about, that was how the sun was going to shine. It was like the healing in the wings was right there.
Very good. No, that's good. Amity, I have to tell you, I struggle with your name. But it really is. I was sitting here and I looked up at you and the Lord said, that's what I call her. And I went, yes, Lord. But here's what he said to me. This year, he's calling you into full identity, fully who you are, fully who he's called you to be. Engage, engage, engage. And the word the Lord spoke to me over you about opening your mouth and speak, I don't know if you've read it, but I feel really strongly that he has put such a power in all of our tongues, but there's something about you speaking and seeing, and there's things that have been stirring in your heart for a long time that you've been declaring, 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 and this year you're going to be seeing the release of those things which you declared because you're stepping into the full identity of who he's called you to be. Amen? Right on.
Boys, when you guys were born, God put a word in my heart for you about sons of thunder. And you guys are individuals, even though everybody mixes you up. But you're individuals, and you will have different callings. And I just want you to encourage you to go to your calling individually, but then link together, and you'll change this world. Matt, I think I've got more revelation on what I said, lift up your head. And this is not just a word for you, but it was what I saw was you, but I think it goes for all of us. When I said lift up the head, I almost saw like you raise up and your top of your head was in the heavens and the clouds or whatever. And I could almost see your brain like it being rewired. And you got a big smile on your face and then you started twitching. Kind of weird. But I feel like the Lord is telling all of us is we need to live in the heavenlies and that we need to be rewired to think, you know, that based on the heavens. And this kind of goes into my next word. This is a word for all of us. So Sage was sharing in the prayer time about she had an ornament that had the American flag on it. It was American flag on it, and she was talking yesterday, putting away the ornaments, and it fell down and broke. And I was contemplating what that means, asking the Lord what that means, and I know she was. And her first thing I heard was, a country unto your own. And I was like, "What? I don't know what that means." And then the other thing I heard was, the United States of America is not your Messiah. And I know we have a group going to D.C. Here, and I think this has something to do with you guys are going, is I don't believe the Lord wants us to return back to where we are founded. That's not where he's calling to us. He's calling us to a new country, and it's a heavenly country. And I actually found it in the Word. I'll actually read it through my phone because it's easier to look at. This is in Hebrews 11, and it's verse 13. This is a lot of people call this Heroes of the Faith chapter, Hall of Faith, whatever. But it says, all these people, talking about the heroes of the faith, were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised, they only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People will say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. He has prepared a city for them. I believe that 2020, I'm excited about it because it's, you know, we were given a personal word by Zach and Sage about what's coming for us, and it all has to do with walking in faith. There's going to be times where it's going to be fearful, terrifying, but he wants us to stay strong and courageous. That's one thing I feel like God has that message rising up in me is about being strong and courageous. And that's what it's going to be called for 2020, is to be strong and courageous. And not only are we going to see what's going to happen, but we're actually going to see it come to pass. It's not just a vision. It's actually, we're going to actually see in 2020 coming. It's not just about us seeing, oh yeah, this is where we're going, but we're actually going to see things that we longed for in our hearts to come forth right now. And so I encourage you not to lose faith, but to trust and to be strong and courageous.
Really quickly, I just wanted to tell you that I honor your time and I value your time, and we have gone long. We literally could probably sit here all day. But would you have grace for me for just a few more minutes? Are we good? Okay, just want to release a couple more things and then I will wrap this up. I also wanted to say I recognize that there are, I mean, pretty much everybody in this room could be standing down here right now, and I'm sure there's things stirring in a lot of you going, oh, I feel like I could say this or that. Write the things down. But I also just wanted to say, have grace for me as well. I didn't choose the ones that are down here for any particular reason other than the Lord led me to do it this way. So receive that. All right, Meg, go ahead.
I actually had something for Amity too. Zach asked me to be one of the people up here, but I was scheduled downstairs and Olivia graciously released me because they're having a good time. But Amity, I heard over you, I'm so glad you're home. I heard that and just felt the Father's heart that where the enemy attempted to dissuade in many ways in the past, that this is an inheritance issue and that your children, you're going to receive the multiplication of that and you're going to see it in your children as well. And you coming home, that it's generational, as God is a generational God. And so I just heard that, like, I'm so glad you're home. So,
Eleanor, I saw Jesus pull up to your house in a white limousine. And you were so excited. And you ran out your door, and you ran around the other side, and you went to open the back door, and he said, oh, no, front seat, girl. And so he flung the door open for you. You got in the front seat, and he said, we're going for a ride. So put on your seatbelt. It's going to be good. It's going to be fun.
The earlier words spoken over Bridge of Hope are really, really important. And I think stepping into them is really important, and us choosing to step into them is important. One of the things that was talked about a lot was dedicating ourselves. And so I just want to read this scripture really quick and then give the prophetic word that God gave me. It says, your word is truth. So make them holy by the truth. I have commissioned them to represent me, just as you have commissioned me to represent you. Now I dedicate myself to them as a holy sacrifice, so that they will live fully dedicated to God and be made holy by your truth. This is Jesus praying for us. Okay, and then in the next part, he's continuing to pray, and he prays a lot for unity. And God is speaking to me about community, and we have communion. And unity together with communion is community. And so the scripture says, I pray for them all to be joined together as one, even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one. I pray for them to become one with us so that the world will recognize that you sent me. So, Father God, I just pray that over this house. I pray that as we dedicate ourselves to you, and as we go deeper in relationship with you and as we have communion with you, that you would bring this community together and we would be unified. God, we pray that we'd be unified with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and his kingdom would come and his will would be done in our lives. And the fullness of that would be revealed to every person here. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, you guys can go ahead and sit down. I thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you all so much for your time. Again, I would encourage you, if the Lord was speaking things to you, write it down. You can bring it to me, or you can even share it with someone, whoever you feel like.
The other thing.
You're not on. You're on.
I'm on. Is for years I would sit in meetings and be like, I want a word so bad, and I wouldn't get a word, and I'd be discouraged. And then the Lord brought me into a place of celebrating others and what God is doing in them and how their victories and them stepping into their identities was just as huge a victory for me as it was for them. And so I want to encourage you today, if you didn't get a specific word, celebrate the words that were given to people, because your time will come. And, you know, there's something that happens when we do that that is an incredible thing in the kingdom. And so one more thing. At the end of service, my mom, Rachel, and Becca, Audia, Isaiah, and Olivia are the group that are going down to
D.C.
Virginia for the conference that's happening there. It's not Awaken the Dawn, but it's the group that does the tent. It's Movement 2020. It's a mission conference. And then they'll be in Washington, D.C. for a few days, going where the Lord calls them to go. So they would love it if whoever wants to come down and pray for them would do that after Zach releases everybody, because we want to bless them and send them off into what God has for them.
Audia Legay, do not leave this building. No, I need you to look at me. I have something for you. This isn't because you have red hair, but I just got put on pause.
I'm sorry. This is important.
You can get it from Ben.
Oh, I got you. You got it?
Will this be recorded? Okay. Audia, so when I saw you come in, I was waiting because I felt like I had a word for the teenagers. But I wasn't sure, and I might release that in a second. But I saw you specifically come in, and your feet were on fire. And I saw you had one of the kids, and when you moved your arm, I saw your hands were on fire. And I was kind of like, Lord, what is going on? I mean, there's some obvious things, but for me to see. But the Lord has put revival in you, and everywhere you step and everything you touch has revival on it. I want to encourage you to do this. There's a specific person that you have been praying for and desiring to see their life changed, touched, radically set on fire for Jesus. And the Lord is calling you to touch that person often and release revival, and release renewal, and release new things. Release, you don't have to even say what you're doing. Just touch. Just touch them often. Even if they go, stop touching me, touch them. Just touch them. But I want to tell you this. He hears your heart. He knows your heart. He knows what's in you. He knows the desires that are in you. He knows your discouragements, your disappointments. He knows the things you struggle with. He knows the things that you so long to see. And he's going to bring them to pass. It may not be tomorrow. Do not let go. Do not stop. Do not stop. Do not stop. It's not in you to stop. Don't let go. Don't stop. Don't be discouraged. Push, push, push. Teenagers, guys, you're standing on revival ground. Like, there is massive renewal and revival that's inside your bones. I know all of your parents. It stirs in you. Release it. Pray for it. Believe it. Walk in it. Listen, you are not the average teenager. Right. You guys are fire starters, fire starters, fire starters. Let it go. Release it, release it, release it. Believe, believe, believe. Right? Believe and you will see. This is your year. 2020 is your year. Believe it. Walk in it. Pray for it. Declare it. Watch it happen. Amen? All right. So I'm going to dismiss us. Again, thank you all so much for your patience. Believe for what God is saying to you and to others. Would you guys all stand with me? We've been in here a long time. If you're here and you find yourself in need for prayer, find somebody next to you. Go grab a teenager. Ask them to pray for you. And let them release revival into you. So I'm going to pray and just dismiss us. Father, thank you for your word today. Lord, thank you that you continually desire to speak to us directly into our hearts and our lives. And so today, Lord, I in particular grab a hold of the things that are in my heart, my desires, my dreams, my goals, the things that you've put inside of me. I grab a hold of them today as you've released them, and I say yes to doing all the things that you have desired for me to do. And Lord, I pray that every person within the sound of my voice would grab a hold of the things that are swirling in the spirit in here today and would say yes to you, to revival, to renewal, to restoration, to reset, to all the things that have gone on in here today. We thank you. We give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor in the name of Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed. If you need prayer, grab a hold of a teenager and have them pray for you.
Hey, teenagers, can you guys come down here? I have a word for you guys. But I'll just... So all you youth, come down here.